Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
Jamie Foxx, man, has been having one hell of a year, and not really in a good way, because all last spring we were wondering what happened to Jamie Foxx, where is he, is he okay? And he recently revealed that he suffered a brain bleed that led to a stroke, and now things are just getting even worse for his 57th birthday. So Jamie was out celebrating in Beverly Hills at a celebrity hotspot called Mr. Chow, and apparently an altercation broke out between his crew and another table. So apparently whatever went down between the two tables, somebody from the other crew, so not Jamie Foxx's family and friends that were out together, somebody threw a glass and it hit Jamie in the mouth. He ended up getting stitches. And on an Instagram post yesterday, he said, "The devil is busy, but I'm too blessed to be stressed."
Was he targeted or was it just like a freak accident?
I think just that there must have been some kind of like maybe words were exchanged. I don't know if maybe like one table was being too loud. We don't have any info on what happened. So, I mean, literally it could have just been the other table and antagonizing Jamie for, you know, the things that he said on his special that recently came out. So we have no idea at this point.
It was odd that this happened like right after I spent the weekend watching his special because he literally spent a lot of the special crying and speaking to all of the things that he was going through in life and how he just wanted better for himself and his family and the people around him. And then to have this happen right after was like, damn, this dude really can't catch a break.
Right. How are you going to survive a 4-month coma and then come out of it and die by getting hit with a shot glass in the head on your birthday?
Or could this be a well-placed publicity stunt to get people to check out his stand-up?
I don't think he needs that at this point, right?
I don't think he needs that. Yeah, I don't think... I believe that maybe... Because he did say some things, like he had a few jokes like every comedy special where you could see some people being mad about it. I think that might have happened more than I'd say it's a publicity stunt.
You know what I think the real sign is here is that a 57-year-old man shouldn't be celebrating his birthday in a club.
It's not a club, it's a restaurant.
It's a restaurant, I'm pretty sure.
I thought you said it was a club.
No, it's just a celebrity hotspot. Like, this is a place where celebs are often photographed. Mr. Chow. Okay. Yeah, they have one in New York, too. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Did I ever tell you the story about how this happened to me, like the first year of the Bird Show?
Kristen knows this. That you got hit with a shot glass?
Uh-huh.
What happened?
Oh, yeah. We were in a club doing a club appearance. And it was this place called Vision from 20 years ago, man. It was the last super club in Atlanta. And when the show first started, they used to like Michael Get On, rest in peace, used to tell us, like, just come on out, man. Come into the VIP area. Just talk about us on the radio. I need people in the club. So we were doing that every Friday and Saturday night. And on this particular Friday or Saturday night, I'm like, yeah, I mean, he was paying for all of my friends, everybody on the Bird Show. Then they were giving me cash to just drink at their club. These were good days in radio. So we got the whole crew out there and we're drinking in VIP. And someone in the crowd spills a drink purposely on one of our interns. Now, the way Vision was designed, the VIP was elevated just a little bit, right? So people on the floor really couldn't get to the people in VIP and vice versa. But somebody had spilled a drink purposely on our intern, and I got infuriated and saw who the guy was, but I also knew he was never going to be able to get to me. So I'm yelling at him, and he's yelling at me. And before you know it, his people are swinging at our people are swinging at his people and stuff, and a shot glass gets thrown across the club and hits me right above the eye.
Damn.
Right above the eye. And it was one of those that you immediately, it was like a cartoon where you immediately get the bump over the eye.
You go,
right? So I get the shot glass over the eye and the and the drink spills all down my shirt, right? So we shake it off. Nobody gets near each other. And we had a female radio personality that was there also, Tracy St. George, who was like comforting me and put her arm around me. And at that exact time, Rodney Ho from the AJC takes a picture of me with Tracy with a bump on my head and a drink all over my shirt while my wife is at home. So I get up in the morning and people are calling me and I have to say to Stacey, I need to give you some context to this picture before this thing really gets out of hand. Same exact thing happened.
Oh my God. I will never forget when I first started here and you guys warned me like, oh yeah, the AJC, like Rodney Ho, like you got to watch out for him. And I just, to me, he was like a cartoon character, like this looming threat that I was going to, like, you know how, quicksand, like in cartoons, you think that you're going to become an adult and quicksand's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Rodney Ho was my quicksand. I was like, I gotta watch what I'm doing at Publix because I don't know what's going to happen on the AJC. So.
He was a wily one.
Back in the day.
And Rodney was a wily one.
All right. Cam Newton is speaking out saying he doesn't go to strip clubs for the women. He actually goes for the men. I'm going to tell you what he means on your next E-Buzz on the Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
Misery loves company.
Yes.
That's the old cliche. So here you are now at the end of the year.
It's 2024. It's so funny you say that, by the way, because you're going to get it here in a second.
Because it's 2024, and I think a lot of people spend some time looking back at 2024, self-reflecting and wondering how they're going to change things for 2025 so they don't end up at this point in 2025 and say, I didn't make any changes at all in a whole year.
Yeah, I think it's good at the end of the year to do a little bit of self-reflecting. You don't want to live too much in the past, but what's the point of living an entire year if you're not going to take something away from it and, you know, try to better yourself or to better your little part of the world or to better the lives of others around you? And that's kind of what the assignment was for everybody, just to kind of like take a quick look back at 2024 and bring to the table like a message or a lesson that you learned that you want to take into 2025 with you.
I misunderstood the assignment. I thought it was how I thought you guys could be better people, and that's what I put down.
That we'll do that.
I'm just
kidding.
What? I didn't do that.
let's do that one in 2025. Let's kick off the year with that one. I think that'd be a great start to the new year. So for myself, when I was looking back at 2024, and this is going to be a special message for my empaths and my people pleasers. Don't let another person's misery become yours. Definitely guilty of that. There are plenty of happy people out there, and there are plenty of miserable people out there.
For sure.
The happy people will lift you up. The miserable people will attempt to tear you down. Stop focusing on the miserable people.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't worth your time and energy. You know who are? The happy people.
Yeah. Aww.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like a more of a like a priority perspective thing. And what you choose to focus on is going to have an overall effect on your well-being. And I'm really going to take that into 2025, man.
Awesome. Mo?
I would say for the first part, the biggest lesson I learned from 2024 is to be careful with who I trust. That's what I think this year was about trust for me. And sometimes you think that you know people because they're your friends or your family. But hey, the truth of the matter is sometimes there's people you trust more outside your family than you can people in and vice versa. And I think when you trust the wrong people, it can do a lot of damage. And when you trust the right people, it can do a lot of good. So I just think being a little more careful with who I trust, whether that be with my time, my information, my dreams, my goals, whatever it be, just being a little more selective in that area.
Interesting, because quite frankly, I see you as kind of a guarded guy to begin with, right? So you feel like your filter is just a little bit off right now?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, because me being guarded is for a reason. You know, it's not, a lot of it is just growing up being the only child for so long. I think that's just how I'm comfortable. But the other part is just experience.
And, well, you also had some family drama there when you were a kid that could put up those walls pretty quick. And they're tough to take down.
That as well. And then, you know, experiences as you grow and get older and you just, you learn what getting burned can really do to you. So I think... I try to fight the good fight in a sense of, no, I don't ever want to let one person make it hard for me to trust another or let one person steal that. So then sometimes you overcompensate and then you give people the benefit of the doubt at times when you shouldn't. And I think it's a balance there. Mm-hmm. There's just a healthy balance of learning who to trust, when to trust, how to trust, why to trust. Mm-hmm. And I think this year I'm doing a lot of reflecting with that.
You just need to tap into Katie's mom more. Because Katie's mom can read people for filth.
So okay, that could have meant something way different. I didn't know where he was going with
no!
That. That's all right.
That's
all right.
Crazy. No! You get what I'm saying now?
I got you now, yes. I got you.
Let Katie's mom read the people in your life for filth and tell you if you can trust them or not. Because she knows how to read them.
That's the other point.
I know Katie's mom was listening for a second going, yeah, that's going to be
You need to tap Katie's mom just so I can hear her call you daddy.
I don't trust y'all. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I mean, I've earned that, so that's fine. That's totally fine.
What do you got, Ab?
Trusting Katie's mom. No. I spent the first half of this year, like, pretty depressed. So for me, I think a lot of my lesson for this year is just reflecting on that whole experience and seeing like the really like deep emotional lows that I had and kind of comparing them to just like the rest of my life and just kind of realizing that like maybe the lesson is just like sometimes life just really sucks and there's nothing you can do about it. Sometimes life, you just have to suffer through things and sometimes there's just things you can't do about the suffering that you're experiencing. Yes. So just recognizing that the productive thing in that suffering is the expanded empathy it'll give you for other people and empathy you're going to get for yourself. And I think that's kind of what I'm taking away from that this year.
I just gave this advice to somebody the other day that sometimes you just got to sit in it, man. And the more you fight the pain of getting out of a situation, the harder it becomes on you. Sometimes there's nothing to do except sit in it.
Yeah, that was a really like hard lesson I learned a couple of years ago that life isn't fair. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are, how like how you try to give back and how you try to live your life and to be, you can be the best person in the world, but life is going to life and life is not fair.
That rolls right into mine, which is you can't control anything. Well, you can control some things. And the one thing you can control is how you react to things. And it is up to you to pull yourself out of your mental black hole. No matter what's happening around you, you just got to let go and focus on yourself.
I had 43.
Just kidding. Wow, this is a productive year for you, sir.
There's three here that I was working on and I'm going to continue to work on in 2025. And it was living life more authentically. And I know when I have identified throughout my entire life when I'm doing little self-lies and I haven't done anything about them before, but now I am. So I'm living my life more authentically. And that's been definitely the second half of the year more. Embracing my self-worth. People have told me for the longest time about that. Work on it, work on it, work on it. And I didn't understand it until this last year. Now I've been working on it. And also identifying and accepting love. I think because of the way that I grew up in a house where love was conditional, and now learning to identify what real love is and embrace it is something that I learned in 2024 and want to do even more in 2025.
Good for you, man.
That was good.
I'm good for all of you guys.
Solid.
Yeah. All right, coming up in a couple of minutes here.
Who's going to hold us accountable?
That's the thing.
Not you gotta be tight.
Mo can't trust himself. Yeah, can't hold himself accountable, man.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bird Show.
I'm almost apologetic bringing it up again, but you guys keep donating, keep donating, keep donating. And I want you to know that even though we thought we were done, you guys have been so incredibly generous that I feel it's our responsibility to sort of tell you what's been going on with these mini miracles and breaking and entering.
All right. First off, set your calendars because Friday morning at this time, we are donning Christmas ski masks and we are breaking and entering and changing a family's life. We've been telling you about a single mom battling stage 4 cancer, her two boys ages 7 and 12, and then her mother, their grandma, who's been working multiple jobs to cover both households. You guys have donated $25,000 for them.
They didn't even ask for all that.
Mm-mm. 402 gifts. We initially asked for 65 gifts, but you just kept coming. You wouldn't take no for an answer. 402 gifts, $25,000. Way it breaks down, $7,000 in wish list gifts for the family. We're talking new shoes, plushy toys, Titanic stuff for one boy who just loves Titanic. PlayStation 5, we're actually going to have two of those.
Is that right?
Yeah. I love it so much.
Dude, when I'm thinking, I don't know where they live, and I don't know if this is going to be delivered and set up at apartment or hospice.
It's an apartment. I was in their city over the weekend.
Did you do a drive-by and scope out the situation?
I did.
In your ski mask?
I wanted to make sure I knew where to go. And no, I didn't. I didn't put
you rolling by in a van looking like the Wet Bandits from Home Alone.
Exactly. But then Grandma, we're going to get her a tracksuit, spa days for Grandma and Mom and a bunch of other stuff.
Sincerely, where are they going to put all this stuff? It's a great problem to have. I mean, yeah, they're going to open up. There's going to be hardly any room for them to walk around this apartment because you guys supplied them with so many presents.
And like I said, the original target number was 65 gifts. You guys came through with 402.
Wow.
And, you know, it's really going to go past Christmas. We're talking 2025, setting this family up so they don't have to worry about the necessities like rent and utilities and all that stuff.
Food.
So $8,000 of that is going to a year's supply of groceries.
Wow.
And we're doing it through Walmart where they can order online and Walmart will bring it to them.
That's perfect. Because I know they were needed a bunch of Uber rides too because she was using Uber to get to and from the hospital.
Yep. $8,000 is going to cover 6 months of rent. And then $2,000, that's going to cover those Uber gift cards for, you know, getting to the hospital and wherever else they need to go.
Yeah, I don't want to skip over that too fast because here you are, you're talking about, we're calling her a grandmother, but she's a mother that has told us straight up she's about to lose her child, right? Mm-hmm. That means she is going to be taking care of her grandkids also. Mm-hmm. And when she came in here, she didn't even know what she was going to do for rent in 2 days. So that's adding to the stress of that whole situation. We don't know what January or February holds for them, but if we can alleviate that kind of immense stress from this family for 6 months, that truly is a miracle that is going to happen for 6 or 7 months in 2025. So thank you guys for overreaching on that one.
Yep. And before I move on to the mini miracles, got to give a shout out to Proposity. These are the folks that have teamed up with the Burt Show. They're a nonprofit app where if you want to help other people, they're kind of the conduit to help do that. So thank you to Proposity. And now our mini miracles update. This is as of last night. Our Burt Show team has continued to roll over the weekend.
Yeah, because you guys did such a good job with the breaking and entering family. And there were other families on the Proposity list. We're like, all right, well, give more.
Yeah. I can't remember the numbers that I gave you on Friday, but these numbers are bigger. Total needs met between our breaking and entering family and our mini miracles, 966 total needs have been met.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
And y'all,
what's it called when you meet a need that hasn't been asked for? So many extras.
We have broken $50,000.
Wow.
$50,435 donated for between breaking and entering and our mini miracles. And we just want to thank everybody who went to theburtshow.com, joined the Burt Show team on Proposity, and helped make this happen.
Okay, that's an incredible number right there. So we're going to officially sort of, I don't want to say be done, but we're not taking on more families this week. However, there were needs that were added to the list this weekend from Proposity.
Yes, there were 25 requests that came in over the weekend, and those are going to be added by midday today. So do I tell folks?
You can. If
you miss the boat, you want to be a part of this, you want to be part of the excitement of giving during the holidays, if you're able to do it, there are going to still be opportunities today. Just go to theburtshow.com, sign up for the Proposity Burt Show team, and make it happen.
Boy, there are 25 requests that came in over the weekend?
Uh-huh.
All right, so if you guys want to still help out, like Tommy said, you were talking about doing and thinking about doing, and you didn't have time to, there are still 25 families that we added to the list, and if you'd like to, that'd be great. But your work over the last week has just been absolutely touching.
And if you want to bask in what you were able to accomplish, at this time on Friday, we will be playing us breaking and entering into this family's home.
Donning Christmas ski masks! Okay.
So Grandma's taking them to a Mexican restaurant. So while they are out of the house, our breaking and entering elves are going to swoop in. The tree, the lights, the decorations, the presents, the pillows, the linens on the beds, everything. That house is going to be turned upside down.
I got the Christmas crowbar ready. Me, Marv, and Harry are ready to go.
The Burt Show.
So over the weekend, if you're not a football fan or you're not a college football fan, you wouldn't have cared about this. You don't care who wins the Heisman, which is awarded to the best player in college football that season. I normally would never even talk about the Heisman Trophy on the Burt Show here, except it's got deep Georgia roots this year. A guy named Travis Hunter, who plays for Colorado, won the Heisman over the weekend. This dude is so good, and we knew it back in the day in high school. We knew it because he went to Collins Hill, and everybody was talking about this kid. And Swanee, he plays offense. He plays defense. He's just a stud. So he was at Colorado this year and just impressed everybody playing for Deion Sanders. And this kid from Swanee, Collins Hill, won the Heisman Trophy this weekend.
Dude is a baller, man. And he came into Colorado with a lot of hype and a lot of expectations around him. And people wanted to see how he was going to show and prove. And he did. He is like, he's exceeding expectations. He's the truth.
And if you're a Bulldog fan, you're like, oh, that kid is so good. We know he's going to Georgia. And he did not.
He sure didn't.
But good for him. And then I did a little homework on it. And there have been five Heisman Trophy winners that have Georgia roots. George Rogers went to Duluth. He won it in 1980. Everybody knows Herschel Walker. Mm-hmm. Johnson County in 1982. Charlie Ward, Thomas County Central in 93. And Cam Newton, of course, Westlake 2010. So congratulations to Collins Hill High School and Swanee and Gwinnett County. Travis Hunter, dang, won the Heisman Trophy, man.
That's huge.
That is awesome.
Playing defense, too. That's really impressive.
Both offense and defense, right?
Yeah.
All right, so this was so funny to me. We're at the holiday party on Friday night, right? And we got a lot of kids at the holiday party, you know, children of virtual members, not kids like Abby. But so our parties start early, which is great for a morning show anyway. Party started at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
5 o'clock on a Friday, right? Our party, our holiday party, was over 8:30, right? Which left half of us, time to go to bed.
Uh-huh.
And the other half, which was Abby and Katie and Jackson and Mikey, all trying to figure out, well, night can't be over. It's a Friday night. So listening to the debate on where to go and what actually happened had me very invested.
So we all had different ideas of where we wanted to spend our Friday evening. We all have our different niche parts of Atlanta that we enjoy. Mikey threw out that he was going to be near the Battery. So he's like, let's go to PBR. Let's ride that bull. Rebecca wanted to go to a bar called Church. I was like, what? No, like I gave up church a while ago.
Sister Louise says Ping Pong Emporium.
That's like her go-to, right?
Is Rebecca, is that your go-to? Yeah, she's a big thumbs up in the back. She loves a place called Church.
Church is awesome, by the way. You should go.
Okay, I've never been there, but she loves it. She was like, we need to go to church.
Do they still have the choir robes when you walk in to put on, or have they got rid of those because they were
stiff? Yeah, they do?
They still have those things? Do not put
any kind of black
or blue light things on those,
That freaks me out. I don't want to piss off God any more than I already have. And I was like, I recently started going out in Alpharetta, and Alpharetta is lit. Like, that's like one of the most fun places I've been to in Atlanta recently. You can go and they have dive bars, but they also have places where you can dance. And they also have Christmas pop-up bars. I'm like, it's perfectly on theme because we're all dressed up in Christmas attire.
Did you say dive bars or dad bars?
No, dive bars, like divey kind of spots.
Okay,
yes, dad bars.
I thought she said dad bars. And then when you asked for clarification, I thought you said dad bar
Agreed.
Where are these daddy bars? I wanted to know. To your point, Alpharetta is kind of a dad bar spot. I mean, if you're looking for a dilf, like Mercantile Social, kind of a spot.
Yeah. They need to open a bar up there called Zaddy's.
Dad bars and dad bods.
Or to your point, we could have gone to Dad's in Virginia Highland, but we were all going back and forth as to where we wanted to go. And I feel like because we were all passionate about our specific corners in Atlanta, that we had to pick a place that was physically and theoretically somewhere in the middle. And so I threw out, well, what if we go to Roswell? Because Rebecca just threw out a place in Roswell that she saw on TikTok. Why don't we go there? And I'm like, that's kind of Alpharetta-ish. And Rebecca threw it out there. So now two people are on board. Jackson doesn't care. Jackson just wants to get hammered.
That's not the way I saw it. He was jockeying pretty hard for, was it West Midtown or Midtown on Friday night?
Where were you pushing for? I thought you were okay with... You didn't care. You just wanted to drink.
I just wanted to go out and hang out with everyone.
Or maybe I got it twisted. You were saying that we were talking about Mikey and all the bars and restaurants and where she might want to live, and you were trying to sell her.
I was trying to sell her on Midtown in general. Right. Obviously, yes. I like going out around Midtown because I live there, so it's very easy for me to get home from there, whereas if we went to Roswell or Alpharetta, that's like a 30, 40-minute Uber for me.
Yeah, but it was like 20 minutes from the house that we were at, so I was like, that's kind of in the middle. But yeah, he was jockeying for Midtown. He's a big Midtown fanboy, and I'm kind of like, every time I go out to Midtown, I don't have a good time. I want to like Midtown. Like, I'm a city girl. I want to like Midtown, but every time I go to the bars out there, I never have the time that I'm pitched. Like, they're like, Midtown's the greatest. I'm like, no, it's not.
What's turning you off about it? It seems to me like there are tons of people your age, a lot of single dudes.
Every time I go out there, there's nobody out. I've been to Ormsby's, which is like that sort of, I wouldn't call it a dive bar, but it's like more low-key sports bar-ish. That's like the place everyone tells me to go, and every time I go, it's lame as hell.
Really?
They're going to sue me for slander. I'm sure it's so fun.
It's so fun.
No, every time I go, it's so boring.
Really? I've been there like a handful of times, over by Georgia Tech, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I had a great time there, too. here's the thing. I want to like that bar because it's the exact kind of low-key place I'd want to go to, where it feels low-key, but it's still nice. I can get a glass of Sauvignon Blanc. They have, like, pool and what's
the mini shuffleboard?
Shuffleboard. It's near all these cool restaurants, so you can go out to eat and then pop over. But every time I go, it is lame as hell.
Really?
I'm so sorry. I'm gonna get sued so bad by them. But
I think my whole thing is just like, how many moves are there actually around where you live versus in the city?
Buckhead?
No, you don't go out in Buckhead. That's not really.
Yes, I go out in Buckhead all the time.
Well, here's might be the reason why you're not meeting good guys.
Yeah.
I think you jumped the gun going a little too suburban too early, and it's time for some city living inside of you.
Buckhead is so city.
It's like, it's business city. It's not fun city.
Yeah, I'm looking for a man in finance. 6'5", blue eyes.
Did you get it more in Roswell?
Yeah, I was surprised at how many young people were out in Roswell. We went to...
Because they're all at home living with their parents.
Cassie, they're being very financially responsible and saving up. We went out to Lola's Burger Bar, and it was all decked out in beautiful Christmas lights with such a vibe. Very chill. I mean, kind of more of a restaurant, and the upstairs part had been booked out for like an office event. Although they left at like 10, and then they still wouldn't let us go up.
I know.
Rude. And then we bopped over to Mac McGee's, and again, it's still like pretty low-key, but I'm looking around, and like, there's a lot of people that look like us there, like people in their late 20s, early 30s, friend groups, just hanging out, having a good time.
Yeah, when I was doing sort of the in-between move till my house was ready, I was living in Dunwoody, but going to Roswell quite a bit. The people up there were, that place is great.
It's lit.
It was so much fun. You felt really, really, really safe also, and you had such a diverse amount of bars and restaurants to go to. It's fantastic.
It's adorable. It feels like you're in a Hallmark movie.
I had a great time.
I'm now kind of like a fangirl for Roswell.
We heard.
Oh, did you get hammered?
We heard.
Oh, Jackson was
shook. No. Yes. No. Do you know how many times you violently shook me at Lola's? Jackson would get way too hyped about like whatever point he was trying to make, and he would grab me by the shoulders and go, oh my God.
Move to Midtown.
So yeah, we needed to reel him in with all the espresso martinis he was having. He was jacked up.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We must let Kristen vent because she is fired up about this.
I thought this was just a wild take. So, of course, I follow Scary Mommy on Instagram, like a lot of people do. And I saw this headline, an estranged grandma encourages other estranged grandparents to, quote unquote, show up to their grandkids' events without being invited.
Mm-hmm.
You show up because as a grandparent, you have a right. You have a right to watch your grandkids, even though if your kids are trying to keep you out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, nah, satire. No, Scary Mommy did the digging into and this should speak volumes. The name of this woman's Instagram handle is @doormat.mom. So she refers to her as a doormat mom. And a lot of her content has to do with that. And one of her latest videos has gone viral, and she is encouraging other grandparents with estranged kids
to still show up at the grandkids' events.
If you are a loving grandparent and your estranged adult kids refuse to allow you to see your grandkids, whether it be at the holidays or always, then you find out that those kids are going to be in a Christmas concert and you're local, don't not show up. Sit in the back if you have to, but take in the joy that comes from watching them perform. You deserve it. And they deserve to know that you're there for them and that you love them and you support them. It sends a strong message to everyone involved, but especially and most importantly, those kids.
So let me just go to the comment section of doormat.mom here and kind of give you the take on what the people were thinking. One, loving grandparents don't have this problem. Mm. Next. And that, kids, is why we now have a restraining order against Meemaw. Next. Or hear me out. You could say, what work do I need to put in to repair this relationship? But before you ask, give yourself the gift of therapy. Next, surely violating your loved one's boundaries are the best way to spread joy and be involved. Without any information, I'm confident I'm on your kid's side. You deserve it and sends a strong message are lines that clued me into why your kids have boundaries. And that's why my bio mom is on a cannot enter list at my kid's school. And then my favorite is this comment section passes the vibe check. People went in and roasted her. They're like, if you don't have a loving relationship with your kids and they have created boundaries to where you can't see the grandkids, that's on you, boo.
So as a guy that comes from family estrangements, I will say there is some gray area, and I think you got to look at it. I don't think you're ever supposed to show up uninvited, right? But I do think that there is some gray area, depending on what the situation is that you do not want to hurt the kids because you're having tension with your parents. They, if it's safe, deserve a relationship with the kids also, and I think that is healthy, but that's a lot of gray area right there.
A lot of gray area. And I think it spoke volumes because, you know, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt. There are two sides to every story. There's actually three. There's her side, there's her kid's side, and there's probably some truth in the middle. However, when you are a mom on social media and your handle is doormat.mom, like you are officially putting your kids on blast on the internet, I'm going to say, you're probably in the wrong on this one.
All right, virtual listener Shari here says, hold up, pump the brakes. Maybe grandma's not entirely wrong here. Hey, Shari, good morning.
Hey, Shari, good morning. So here's why she could be a little right, as long as what you're saying, like the you're privately, not on the internet. So my kid's dad is not that involved, right? And he makes attempts, and then he disappears. And then he makes attempts, and then he disappears. In my mind, if he would show up everything, send presents for birthday, send presents for Christmas, show up, it would rebuild the trust. So sometimes the trust gets broken because of what they have done in the past. And so you don't, me personally, I don't care to repair that because I feel like it's just going to happen again. But if he would just show up, I would say, okay, maybe this time he's serious.
Totally agree with you. Totally. And that's why I'm saying there's so much gray area and every situation is so different. I'd say the same thing about parenting as I will about grandparenting. You just can't pick and choose when you want to be a grandparent, right? You can't stick and move. It's not a convenient type thing, right? But I think everybody would agree that in the overall scheme of things, if it's possible, it would be nice for your kids to have a relationship with their grandparents. Sometimes it's just not. Sometimes it's just not. All right, so let's get an update, a real quick update from over the weekend, because there was about to be some tension at the holiday party.
Yeah, she was about to bring it to work, man, because she was seeing Reg. She works at an advertising agency, and it's a close-knit team, only about 20 people, and they work hard all of the year, and they get rewarded for that usually with a cash bonus. But this year, the company was deciding to do something different, and instead of giving them cash, they were going to give them coupons from their clients.
Coupons?
coupons.
I got a coupon.
No money, just vouchers for services and products that they actually helped sell. So she wasn't feeling that. She felt like maybe the her coworkers would have her back, and they had a meeting that was scheduled for 4 p.m. where that decision was likely to be announced, and she felt like she wanted to go in there and make a scene. She didn't want to write an email. She wanted to go in there and speak her mind, tell the company that they don't appreciate it being treated like that with as hard as they all have to work all year long.
And my biggest red flag was, look, if you don't know the situation behind what's going on, maybe, just maybe, they're trying to do something rather than nothing because finances might have really been sucky for the company. So I don't know.
All right, so the update reads, the meeting happened, and as expected, the bonus situation was officially addressed. Let me tell you, it was tense. Our boss announced the decision to replace cash bonuses with vouchers from our clients, framing it as a creative solution to tighten the budget while still showing appreciation for our work. The room was dead silent for a moment. And then, well, I spoke up. I kept my tone professional, but made it clear that this wasn't just disappointing. It felt outright disrespectful to the team. I pointed out how much effort, time, and passion we've all poured into our work this year and how cash bonuses are not a frivolous perk, but a deserved reward and often a financial necessity for many of us. I shared examples of how people rely on these bonuses to cover holiday expenses or prepare for the year ahead, and I emphasized the vouchers, while nice in theory, don't replace the tangible support the cash provides. What surprised me was how quickly others followed my lead. One by one, team members chimed in to echo similar frustrations.
That could have been real ugly, man. It's just like, hey, let's go streaking, and nobody is there with you.
Like Tom Cruise, who's coming with me?
Right.
That's how I normally go.
Yeah. A few shared personal stories about how much these bonuses mean to their families. It became clear that this decision wasn't just unpopular. It was almost universally rejected. Our boss seemed caught off guard.
Well, yeah, of course it's universally accepted. Who's going to stand up and go, nah, coupons are good for me.
Keep your cash.
That's the teacher's pet or the one that asked for more homework.
I'm totally cool with the coupons.
Yeah. Our boss seemed caught off guard by the backlash, but promised to, quote unquote, revisit the decision after hearing our concerns. To be honest, I'm skeptical about whether this will lead to an actual reversal, but at least we made our voices heard. It felt good to stand up for what's right, and I'm proud of the team for coming together on this. Now we wait and see if management follows through. I'll keep you posted.
Wasn't your advice on Friday, like, if the company is going to do this, at least be transparent on why?
Yeah, I mean, because I think people would rather keep their jobs than go to war for a Christmas bonus. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have room in the budget for an extra, whatever the bonus is, $10, then I think if they were just transparent and said, listen, it's been a really tough financial year for us.
Yeah.
We wish we could give you the bonuses that we normally give, but we just can't do it without either letting people go or cutting salaries. Right. So I think when you kind of like parenting, like I was talking to Kristen yesterday about Jimmy. I was over at her house and she's like, if you just explain to your kids why you have to do certain things normally, like, okay.
He takes it. Yeah. I mean, because you got to give them more credit for how intelligent they are and how like they'll understand instead of saying don't do that. He's like, why? Because I said so. If you actually give them like a legitimate reason, no, we don't eat a lot of sugar before bed because you're not going to be able to go to sleep and you're going to get okay. But with this one, I forgot what I was going to say. I totally forgot what I was going to say.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That's neat.
All right.
I think I might have ADHD too.
It's contagious.
Or maybe it's just the season.
The Bird Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.